RadioArchives.com presents Hot Money, An Adventure of Dan Fowler by C.K.M. Scanlon. Read by Paul Curtis. In the days of J. Edgar Hoover's Untouchables, one lawman took on the super criminals even Elliot Ness couldn't touch. Dan Fowler, G-Man. The greatest FBI special agent of his generation, Fowler operated nationwide, hunting down spies, kidnappers, counterfeiters, murderers, and other dire threats to law and order beyond the jurisdiction of local authorities. Assisted by the youthful agent Larry Kendall and brave Sally Vane, Dan Fowler crushed crime with an infallible combination of scientific criminology and punishing Tommy gun lead. And now, Dan Fowler's thrilling adventure, Hot Money.
Chapter 1. Trail of Blood. Hot Money. Hot with the feverish breath of murderous greed, with the sweating terror of flight. Hot with the heat of blood, the heat of tragic tears. Hot as the savage passions of human fiends, passions born and bred in the reeking glare of hell's own bosom. Hot Money. Follow its bloody trail. A slender, sweet-faced girl of 16 frowns down at a white golf ball, slowly swings back her club. This hole is her particular worry. Invariably here, she slices into the rough. Her caddy, a husky, freckled-faced youth, smothers a dawning grin. The club flashes in its swing. There is a smart click as the head meets the ball. The ball curves through the air, straight for the underbrush of the rough. "Darn it," mutters Sybil Simons. "If I could just get over that." She starts down the gentle, sun-mottled slope of green toward the place where the ball has disappeared. Her caddy, shouldering her bag, follows. It's a warm, sleepy afternoon. Nothing stirs within his vision save the annoyed girl and a single car rolling leisurely along the white highway beyond the trees. The caddy is not really a caddy at all. He is a guard in the employ of Nathaniel Simons, president of Simons & Company, and reputed the richest private banker in America. His duty is to watch over the person of Nathaniel Simons' only daughter, the only person in the world whom the grim old financier loves. He is a good watchdog, this sturdy young fellow, but he is not a man of keen intuitions. He sees nothing to be afraid of in that patch of green. Trees and underbrush. Nothing to fear in the battered old car that is rolling down the state road. He knows that beyond the hill, another man of his agency is pretending to replace divots, that behind, a third is strolling along aimlessly, knocking a ball ahead of him. And though he is, for the moment, he and the girl, out of sight of both of these men as he descends into the hollow, still he feels no alarm. They are there, armed, ready. They will be with him in 60 seconds at his shout. Only there is no chance for a shout, just a flicker of movement in the thick foliage of a tree overhead, a descending hand that swings a blackjack. The caddy crashes to the earth. Sybil Simons, swiftly muffled in the folds of a dark cloak by two silent figures that appear to rise out of the very ground at her side, is borne struggling but helpless to the roadside. The car checks its pace. She is bundled in. The car picks up speed as it vanishes over the next rise. $100,000 in hot money, and not a sign of it for a year. The director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation slaps his open hand down on a pile of reports and pushes them from him with the impotent anger of the man of action for such futilities. They are reports of patient work, of the eternal plotting, wearisome checking, and cross-checking that make up 3/4 of the labors of the Bureau. Alas, they are reports of failure. The assistant director, seated across the desk from his chief,